take your Bibles. There you go.
Am I on?
Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles this morning.
I don't know if I'm on.
Colossians. Number four, Colossians chapter number four. Take your Bibles. Good to be here at chapel, here at the Hiles Anderson College. Right? That's right. And what a wonderful place to be. What a wonderful place to be trained for ministry. And just like my wife and I, I'm glad the Lord has brought your path at this time through this place. There's a whole lot can be learned here from the people that God has placed here as well. I'm excited for you and the opportunity that God has given you to be trained here at this place under Pastor Wilkerson, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and these who are taking time to invest in you. My wife and I have the wonderful privilege to pastor Shawnee Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And he's never been there. It's okay. My wife is here. Mary, would you stand real quick? And would you give her just a quick hand? I appreciate her. She absolutely loves attention. And so that was for her. It's good to have some family here. And David and Tim Warren and William Hoxie. And I got some nephews here. And then some former teens from Grandview Baptist Church. I saw Wesley just a minute ago there. And Ryan. Where are you at, Ryan? There's Ryan, and I won't embarrass you guys, but it's good to see you guys, and appreciate them. My wife and I have been married now this February will be 14 years, and certainly a blessing. We've got four kids. Krista's 11, Tyler's 9, Zach is 5, and then Brayden is 3. And wonderful joy to be a dad and a husband and a pastor. And by the way, it's a wonderful joy to be a husband. And college is a great place to find a spouse. Amen. And I found my spouse here at Hiles Anderson College. It was summertime, right after high school graduation. I was talking with my dad, and I wanted my dad to be a part of the college choice and college decision. I won't tell that whole story. And we had it narrowed down between a smaller Bible college that ran about 100 or so students, and then Hiles Anderson College, and just had it narrowed down between those two. And I asked my dad that night. I remember the night. I said, "Dad, we've looked at 6 different Bible colleges. I think we've narrowed it down to these two that I would be pleased and happy in any of these two. What do you think?" And my dad so wisely said, "You know, Steve, I'll just be honest. There's more fish in the ocean over at Hiles Anderson than at the other place." What a spiritual decision. But let me tell you, there was a whole lot more fish. And praise the Lord for that. And if you've not found a girlfriend yet, my friends, come on now. And your significant other, the person that the Lord has for your life, they could be dating somebody else right now. They could be dating, Brother Aaron, they could be dating somebody else right now. And you say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" Well, I remember my junior year of college. I had dated up until that point, and I had I was single for a little bit, didn't have a girlfriend at the time, but I had a problem. My problem was the girl that I knew God wanted me to marry was dating somebody else. How many have that problem right now? No, careful. Get yourself into trouble. So I did what so many of us might do. I went to my dating counselor, Brother Rick Sparks. I'm telling you what. Hey, if you need a dating counselor, I'm just telling you, Brother Sparks is the man. And I walked into Brother Sparks' office. We were good friends. I was his assistant division leader and helped him so much. I had memorized his schedule, and many of the times I would meet him as he was walking in and get advice and counsel and just greet him when he walked into college every morning. But I remember walking in that day and saying, Brother Sparks, I've got a little problem. And he says, I know. And I said, the person that I believe God wants me to marry is dating somebody else. And he says, and I think I know that too. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm not for sure. That's why I'm in here. I said, but this guy is ready. He's going to her house for Thanksgiving break. And I just know if this Thanksgiving break goes really well, that I'm going to be farther behind than I am right now. And he says, well, let me ask you, Steve, and this is maybe the greatest dating advice I've ever received. Does she have a ring on her finger? And I said, well, Brother Sparks, she doesn't have a ring on her finger. He says, well, I guess then you know what to do. I remember leaving the office that day, walking down the hallway, pulling up her number, and making a phone call. The phone call went something like this. I'm not dating anyone, and you know that. And I just wanted to take a moment to say, if for some reason you weren't dating the guy that you're dating right now, I would ask you out. The phone went silent. You say, Pastor Frost, what happened? She's got a ring on her finger. Come on, yeah. I left a lot of details out that my wife would not want me to tell. I'm sorry. Church Ed when she's not around, all right? Church Ed. So young men, let me tell you, listen, there's still an opportunity. She might be dating somebody else right now, but you still have an opportunity if you can be savage enough to make that phone call. And that would be a blessing. Colossians chapter number 4. By the way, Brother Aaron, I did almost lose my life in that too. So Colossians chapter 4, verse number 15. I want you to look there with me. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. He is concluding his book, giving some salutations and some encouragement to different people, as Paul does in many of his church epistles. And there in verse number 15, we read, "Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea, and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. A boy was out shopping with his mom, and he was given $1 to spend there in the candy aisle. He frantically searched for what would be the very best thing to spend that dollar on. His mom was in a hurry, and becoming impatient, she scolded him, "Son, it's time. Let's go. Hurry up. Come on now. Let's go." To which he replied, "Mom, I only have $1, and I want to make the choice wisely." And I'm reminded that you and I, we have but one life. We get to spend it one time. We get college years one time. We get one life to do ministry. And I don't know about you, but I desire to spend that life wisely. I'd like to speak on this subject this morning in chapel. It's our turn. It's our turn. Or more importantly, it's your turn. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege that we have this morning to open up your word. And I do ask that you'd help us glean from its pages. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be active. I recognize I'm inadequate, that I need your help. And I have a desire this morning to say exactly what you once said, nothing more than what you once said, but also nothing short of that. And so I pray that my mind, my heart, and my tongue would be in control by your Spirit. Now, Father, you would help us as college students, as people who you have given a ministry to or are giving a ministry to. And Father, we would take heed to Paul's encouragement here, and more importantly, the encouragement that I believe your Holy Spirit will direct our hearts in today. Father, we recognize we need you. You've got great things for us, and we want to accomplish great things for you. And so would you help us this morning? Would you encourage us? Would you provoke us? Would you help us? And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory for it. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. I spent time in junior high and high school playing basketball. And Mark Dalton was my elementary coach there in 5th and 6th grade. And then in 7th and 8th grade, also the junior high coach. And later he would be a help on the varsity bench and partially the varsity head coach. And where I played basketball, there was just a certain way of doing things. You had to shoot layups a certain way. You couldn't go over the front of the rim. You had to use the backboard. I remember my varsity year of high school, I was playing in a game down at Northside Christian School there in Louisville, the same place I get to pastor and administrate now. And I'd stole the ball in the wing towards the end of a quarter, and buzzer was getting ready to go off, and I went up to dunk the ball. The ball slipped out, and so I just tapped it in, 2 points. There was 13 seconds left on the clock, and I watched a sub go from our bench to the checkout, the line there. And coach subbed me out of the game with 13 seconds left in the quarter. I remember walking back to the bench, and he said, "Steve, did you go over the front of the rim?" I said, "Well, I tried to dunk it. The ball slipped out of my hand, and so I tapped it in." He goes, "Did you dunk it?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Did you go over the front of the rim?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "We don't do that." I started the second half on the bench, though I was a starting center on the team. Why? There was just a certain way of doing things when you crossed that line. And we had a responsibility to do it the way that the coach wanted it done. I grew up hunting with my dad. I loved to hunt. Got to spend time out in Oregon this past year. We had 8 days of backpacking in the hills, the mountains there, chasing elk with a bow, and thoroughly enjoyed that. You know, when you went hunting with dad, there was just a certain way you did things. A certain way you carried your gun. A certain time that you undid the safety. A certain time that you were able to load the gun and times that he didn't want the gun loaded. There were certain ways that we treated the sport of hunting. There was things that maybe others would have done that we didn't do. Things that probably other people would have tried to get away with that dad just had a certain way that he wanted us to hunt, a certain set of ethics in hunting. And so when you went out, you just did it the way that he wanted it done. God has put in your and I's hearts some wonderful things. There's a lot of potential that sits in this room. There's a lot of ministries that'll be pastored by young men in this room. a lot of mission fields that'll be touched by young men and young women in this room. There'll be many classrooms that the teacher standing in front of those students and investing time in them will be young men and young women in this room. You have been or you will be given a ministry. And I want you to look what Paul says here to Archippus. Look there again with me in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 17. He said, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it." That thou fulfill it. We've been given something great, and now you and I have a personal responsibility. It's our turn to do something with it. I find it interesting, and we'll look a little bit more at Archippus here in just a few minutes and towards the conclusion of our message this morning. 2 or 3 years ago there at Shawnee Baptist Church, my wife and I have been pastoring there for 4.5 years. And it was around 2.5 years ago, I had to deal with a particular issue. Most churches will have to deal with some issues. Most pastors are going to have to deal with some things. And there's a particular direction that some were wanting to head that, just frankly, as pastor, I needed to go to the Lord, figure out what we were supposed to do in the direction that we were supposed to head, and then just announce, this is where we're going. That's not the easiest thing. It sounds easy, right? But when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with people you love and people you care about, that's not always the easiest thing to do for a leader. I remember during that time, spending much time in prayer and asking God's direction. I was asking God to heal that particular situation. And if he wasn't going to heal it just like that, that he would give me boldness to say the things that I needed to say and lead the church and the staff in the direction that needed to be led in. As I was praying and seeking the Lord in that, God gave me in my prayer time 4 responsibilities that I had. We might say 4 different groups of people that I owed to fulfill the ministry that God had put in my hand. See, God had not put anybody else to be pastor there at Shawnee Baptist Church, but he had called me at this time to be the pastor there. And this was something that I believed, as Paul told Archippus, you need to take heed that you fulfill what you've been given. God gave me some responsibilities in that prayer time and some things I owed. And I want to take just a few moments here this morning and share those with you. These people that I have a responsibility to fulfill the ministry that I'm in. Let me say, first of all, this morning, we have a responsibility to God first. We have a responsibility to God first. I love what Paul told Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Archippus, you know where that ministry came from. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from anybody else. It came directly from the Lord. And in Archippus, you have a responsibility to fulfill what God has given you. You first have a responsibility to God. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I now hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Paul said, I'm a steward, and in all honesty, it doesn't really matter what you say about my ministry. And it really doesn't matter what the church across town says about my ministry. But it does matter what God says about my ministry. Paul said, I have a responsibility to the Lord. God has spoken to my heart about some things. God has given me some values and some convictions and even some preferences that I believe God has placed on my heart. You say, where did those come from? Some came from high school and junior high where I was instructed in some areas, and while I was being instructed, the Holy Spirit of God said, Steve, that's for you. Many of those came from this place right here. In a college class or in a college chapel, just like this, many of those convictions and even decisions on preferences and philosophies happened right here at this altar, the same altar that many of you visited yesterday. It was the same altar that I visited, and God stamped upon my heart some things that he had given me, and they might not be for everybody else, but that's okay. I am confident and I am fully persuaded in my mind that those convictions and even many preferences, Brother Aaron, came from the Lord. And I'm not going to stand before my peers and give an answer one day for those. I'm not going to stand before you one day and give an answer for those. But I'm going to stand before God and give an answer. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be a good steward of the ministry that God has given me. I want to be a good steward. I have a wonderful wife. God has given me a wife so far above what I deserve, and I want to be a good steward of my marriage. Those four kids, Krista, Tyler, Zach, and Braden, I wish you knew them. They're incredible. Tyler, this past week, he's already signed his letter of intent to Hiles Anderson College. You say, how old is he? He's 9. It's okay. We'll see what happens. And he put that hat out there and had a big press conference and all that. We handed out a ministry prayer card this week at church. And on Sunday night, I was walking in down the hallway with him, and he had the prayer card, and he said, Dad, he said, you say on here that our church this year, we're praying that God would start a church in another church through us in the Louisville area or the southern Indiana area. I said, yes, that's what it says. That's what we're praying for. He says, why can't you wait till I graduate from college so I can go pastor that church? I'm glad the Lord's given him a heart like that. But you know what? I want a steward those four kids that God has given us. One day I'm going to stand before God with my wife, and we're going to answer for how we raised them, for how we taught them God's word, for what we did with God's blessings in our home. That marriage that God has given me, that's a ministry that's of the Lord. Those children that God allowed my wife and I to parent, that's a ministry of the Lord. Shawnee Baptist Church right now is a ministry that the Lord has given me. Indian Creek Baptist Camp is a ministry that the Lord is allowing me to steward. And one day I'm going to stand before God for all of those things. And I've got a responsibility to God for how I fulfill what he's put into my hand. So what happens when peers of yours head a different direction? It's okay, because I'm not fulfilling my ministry that they gave me. I'm fulfilling the ministry that God gave me. What happens when family makes different decisions than you make? It's okay. I'm not fulfilling a ministry that my family gave me. I'm fulfilling a ministry that God gave me. And you and I, first of all, I believe, need to recognize that our ministry and the one that God's going to give us is of the Lord, and we have a responsibility to him. The Bible tells us in heaven one day that he's going to wipe away the tears from eyes. My personal opinion is the reason for that is not all accounts of stewardship are going to be joyful accounts. I mean, let's be honest. I wish I could go back and give a little bit more of myself in my college age. I wish I could go back in high school and steward the relationships of my friends better than I did. There's some things that I did in 9.5 years at Oregon and in the ministry there that God gave us at Grandview Baptist Church. There's some times I wish I would have invested a little bit more and did a little bit more. And one day I'm gonna have to steward those. I'm gonna have to give an account for those. And certainly, for many of us, there might be some tears shed, knowing that God gave us some things. He imprinted some things on our life. And we did not steward them. We did not take responsibility to the things that God has given us. And so in my prayer time, as we were trying to deal with a particular issue in church, God said, well, first of all, Steve, you have a responsibility to me to carry out the ministry that I gave you. There was a second group of people that I have responsibility to. In May of 2017, a group of people voted to call me to be their pastor. I remember that time. That was exciting. An existing culture, existing convictions, some existing preferences. And earlier that month, I had stood before the pulpit committee and I had answered some questions about how I would lead and some things that I believed. And there in front of that church that Sunday night in the beginning of May, I would sit there on the platform and answer some questions from the congregation. A list of questions had been written down and of a style of music and translation of the Bible and what I believed about it. And it was full of them. And there on that platform, I stood before a group of people and I told them what I believed and the direction that I would head. I told them what God had put in my heart and how I would lead Shawnee Baptist Church. And those people, in a vote of confidence, would vote me to be their pastor. And let me tell you this morning, I have a responsibility to them. I owe it to them to not change some things. I owe it to them not to go back on what I stood in front of them to tell them. The convictions that I expressed, the things that I said I believe in, this is why I believe them, I owe it to those people who voted for me to be pastor, to be their pastor, not to change some things. Amen. We live in a culture where, unfortunately, there's many young men who come to churches that believe a certain thing about what translation of the Bible they use and what style of ministry they have. And those people there, they've met for years before that person has ever came, and that person has stood before them and shared a vision and convictions, and those people said, if that's what you're saying, I like that, and I want you to be our pastor. But we also live in a time where many of those men began to take a church a different direction than what they had stood and said. And I want you to say, before you pastor a church, young men, that you owe it to those people who vote you in not to change. Many of you will leave here, and before you pastor, before you tackle that mission field, you'll go and work for a ministry. Can I add in this that you owe it to the pastor? You have a responsibility to the pastor in which you serve to keep the same convictions that he keeps. When he hired you and said, this is who we are, this is what we do, and this is the way we do ministry around here, and this is the style of worship that we have, and this is the Bible that we only teach from, and this is how we're going to handle these particular things, and even there's going to be some preferences that we do things a certain way at our church. And when you sign that line and when you give your word to say, hey, I'm going to come and help and I'm going to be a helper to you, pastor, let me say, you owe it to your pastor. You have responsibility to the pastor that you sign under to keep those things and fulfill the ministry in which he's handed to you. Don't be the guy that comes on staff thinking, you know what, one day I'm going to change the culture of the worship. I know our pastor, I know he preaches from that King James Bible, but I've been reading some books, and I've been listening to a few podcasts, and I've been hearing from a few people, and, you know, I'm enlightened, and just give me some time. I'm going to try to convince him. My friend, you have responsibility. You say, well, what do I do? If that's the case, then you leave. You don't have the privilege to lead the church the way you want to lead them. You don't have a privilege to change the culture that you want to have. I would encourage you to go plant a church, to go find a different ministry. But you have a responsibility to the pastor that you sign under to fulfill the ministry that you've been given. I have responsibility to fulfill the ministry God has given me. I have responsibility to fulfill. I have responsibility to the people who called me their pastor. Here's another one. I have the responsibility to those who have invested in me through the years. Amen. I have responsibility to those who have invested in me through the years. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I want you to look with me quickly at 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is going to, once again, he's writing to his preacher boy. And there at the beginning of chapter 3, he talks about perilous times coming. And he talks about men being lovers of themselves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers. He gives a list of things. He talks to their traitors, verse number 4, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of such sort they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laid with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, verse number 7, able and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gives an illustration, verse number 8, and now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also. And I want you to look quickly at verse number 10 and what Paul tells them. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. Verse number 14, he tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, hey, Timothy, there's going to be some people who are going to turn from what they've heard. Many, many of your colleagues, maybe many of the other men that had been trained. Yes, there was a Demas that forsook Paul, but he says, Timothy, plan for people to head a different direction, but I want you to understand that at some point, as people turn, you need to consider the example that I gave you, and you need to walk. You need to continue in the things which thou hast learned. Amen. And there in my prayer time, I was reminded I have responsibility to God, and I have responsibility to those people who voted me to be pastor of the church, but I also have responsibility to the people that God has put in my life to influence me and to guide me to the place that I'm at today. I have responsibility to a Les Hobbins who faithfully pastored his church and ministered to my family. I have responsibility to a Mark Dalton who faithfully ministered to my dad and faithfully ministered to me as a basketball coach and as a life coach. I have a responsibility to the teachers here at Howells Anderson College and to the pastors and those who have invested in my life. I have responsibility to Mike Mutchler, who guided me and spent just short of 10 years investing in my life. I have responsibility to continue in the things that I have seen, continue in the things that I have heard, continue in the things that I have been trained in ministry. Right. Amen. I believe there's a reason God put you in your family and in your church. Right. There's other denominations. There's other styles of churches. But I believe there's a reason that God put you at your church, under your pastor. I believe there's a reason God has brought you here to Howells Anderson College. Good. I'm not saying it's for everybody. What I'm saying is God's put you here. He's put the leadership in your life. He on purpose wanted you to be trained by these men and ladies. On purpose, he wanted your pastor to be your pastor. And your parents to be your parents. And I want to tell you this morning, God spoke to my heart and said, Steve, you have responsibility to the ministry that I've given you. You have responsibility to those people that you called, that called you to be pastor. But you also, in this particular thing that you're battling with and asking me about, you also have a responsibility to those who have invested in you through the years. Moses will have his Jannes and Jambres, but Moses will also have his Joshua. Paul will have his Demas, but Paul will also have his Timothy, who continues in the things that he instructed him in. I have responsibility to those who invest in me, and let me say lastly this morning, and I don't say this with pride. I have responsibility to me. You see, when I get out of bed in the morning and I look in the mirror, I have responsibility to be proud and excited about the marriage that I have. I have a responsibility to myself to be excited about the way that my wife and I are training our children. I have responsibility when I look in the mirror to say, you know what, Steve? You love the church that you're pastoring. I have responsibility to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I love the convictions that I live by. And some of those preferences that I hold to. I have responsibility to me to be proud of the ministry that God has put in my hand. I mean, look what Paul tells Archippus. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. It was very personal. That thou, a personal responsibility to fulfill it. What happened with Archippus? Well, as we read there in Colossians chapter 3, we find out that in verse number 16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And did you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea and say to Archippus? Where is Archippus at? He's at Laodicea. In the book of Philemon, in verse number 1 and 2, we read, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Who is Archippus? I don't think I'm taking it too far this morning. I believe from these two passages that in some way, Archippus had a ministry there at Laodicea. And so what happened? Take your Bibles with me quickly. I want you to look over at Revelation chapter number 3. Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus is writing letters to the churches. Letters that are going to be received and read of these churches, and Jesus is going to give his report card of how things are going. Well, that's a humbling thing to think about, isn't it? I'd be scared to open that report card if it was for me. But the Holy Spirit is going to lay on John's heart, the report card for the churches, and these are going to be sent to the churches. And notice what we read in verse number 14 of Revelation 3. And to the angel, the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans, write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, or change your way. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in thy throne. Even also I have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." There's a letter that's handed to the church at Laodicea, a report card from the mouth of the Lord that says to those ministering there, the pastor there, "You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were. I wish you were either cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm. There's some things that are lacking. There's some things that need to be done. There's some areas of ministry that I don't approve of. And I'm telling you now, it's time to get with it." I firmly believe this was because Archippus did not take heed to the ministry in which he was given. No doubt, we know he's a fellow soldier. When Paul says, read the church, read this letter to the Laodiceans and in Laodicea, and while you're doing that, make sure you tell our fellow soldier, Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast been given in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You say, what happened? Well, as we look in Revelation chapter 3, there were some things that were lacking. There were some things that did not get fulfilled. Young men and young ladies, you have a responsibility to God for the ministry he gives you. You have a responsibility to the people that God has put in your life to train you and influence you. You have a responsibility to that pastor or people who call you to serve in ministry with. And you have a responsibility, just as Archippus did of himself, to fulfill the ministry that God had given him. Moses will have his Jannes and Jambres, but there will be a Joshua. Paul will have his Demases, but there will be a Timothy. There will be Archippuses, but there will also be you. Young men and young ladies who take heed to the ministry that God gives them and fulfills it. It's our turn. It's your turn. What are you going to do with it? Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege to look at your word. And Lord, thank you so much for driving these four thoughts into my heart and my mind as I seek to lead Shawnee Baptist Church and your people in the direction that you want me to lead them. And Father, I pray for these young people as they have been given or will be given ministries from you, that Father, they would recognize the great responsibility that comes with it. Responsibility to you, to that pastor, to the people that calls them. Responsibility they have to those who faithfully labored and instructed them. And Father, responsibility they have to themselves. to fulfill the ministry God has given them. Help them, I pray. Help me, I pray. It's our turn. And when the report card is given to us and when we stand before you, may we be able to say that we've fulfilled that which you've put into our hand. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In your Son Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.